The book of like the stuff that you are saying to disabled people and to people with chronic illness and people with mental illness is the stuff Job's friends said to Job, and Job's friends are like famously wrong about everything.
Do you stim when you worship? Tick when you pray? Info dump theology, or think you might be gay? The autistic mystic, we're talking about stuff you probably like.
Welcome to the Autistic Mystic. My name is Jeff. I am the Autistic Mystic. Today I'm talking to a dear friend of mine, Jay Baldwin. Jay is actually one of the beautiful people who attends the church I pastor, Chosen Family Church. They are the embodiment of radical inclusion. They are studying all kinds of amazing things and working in the space of disability advocacy, mental health advocacy. They run a Facebook group called Disabled, Queer, and Fabulous. They're doing interviews with amazing people like Judy Heumann. They're everywhere you want to be and everywhere you should be. Jay also has CP, cerebral palsy, and so I wanted to have them on the show to talk about the theology of the body and what it's like being part of a belief system that is often ableist and has problematic beliefs around illnesses and disabilities. Y'all, this is such a great and important conversation. So buckle up, grab your noise-canceling headphones, and get ready for another great info dump. This is Theology of the Body with Jay Baldwin. I'm so happy to have you on. This is very exciting for me too. Have you been? I haven't. We're not having. Oh, we had church last week. I saw you last week, but yeah. But I haven't seen you in a week.
It's been a bit busy because I just started my disability studies summer school course.
Okay, cool.
Which is really cool. I love it, and I love the prof. And, like, I think I'm going to have a lot of fun.
Amazing. I love it. And did you already do your interview with Judy Heumann?
I did half of it. The other half is coming.
Okay, cool. And how did it go?
Good.
That's good.
She's so cute. She's like, we're going to be best friends after this, I swear.
I love it. So this is we're kind of already in the podcast. I kind of edit out the very beginning of the chatting, and then we get right into it. And I'll edit in like a pre-roll of me introducing you afterwards. But this is it. So welcome to the Autistic Mystic podcast. I'm super excited to have you here. How do you want to be billed though? Like on the episode, how do you want to be credited? Just Jay Baldwin or J Robin Lux Baldwin, J Lux Baldwin?
I don't know. Like, there's so many options.
Yeah.
I go by J O Lux, so maybe.
Okay.
If you want to use them interchangeably, go ahead.
Sounds good.
I'm not picky. Okay. I just like Lux because it's the Latin word for light. That's why picked it.
I love
because
it.
Because someone told me I have a lot of light in my persona.
You do. You are like one of the brightest people I know. It's like, and like, bright as in like your disposition, and also like you are crazy smart, which is why I wanted to have you on the show, because you always add so much to the conversation, you and Becca both.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Sort of what I wanted to get into today is sort of inspired by the reaction I got to me calling God autistic on TikTok like 6 months ago. I said I did a TikTok. I don't know if you saw it. It was God.
I did.
Okay, yeah. God is queer. God's non-binary. God is autistic. And people had such a problem with me saying God was autistic, almost more than me saying God is queer, which I was expecting. Like, I was expecting a ton of like pushback on the God is queer. A reluctant acceptance of the God is non-binary, and then like And then people might be like, oh yeah, interesting about the God is autistic thing. And it was like almost more people were upset about the autistic thing. But then I responded to that by being like, God, like, we should be able to say God has any disability, because like the whole point of Christianity is that our God knows what it's like to fear death and to feel pain, and and like we're supposed to see the face of Christ in everybody, and we are collectively the body of Christ. So like our bodies, however they function, however they look, however they work, are like reflecting the image of God accurately. Yeah. So yeah, so that's sort of the thrust.
Did not get mad at that, for the record. I was like, yes, Jeff! Go off!
I love it. So yeah, and like, and you, like, I'm very, as a person with autism who does a lot of emotional labor on the internet around autism, I'm always like, I'm always worried about asking people to put in too much emotional labor, but I also like don't want to have this conversation without voices of disabled people, right?
And so, I totally get it, and I'm honored to be one of those voices, because I feel like it's important, and like God loves us, and God takes on so many different forms, and he is, they are, she is, whatever we need them to be, to show up for us. So that's the way I see it.
Yeah.
And if other people don't like it, I'm like, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you don't have to be a mean human.
Right. I had this teacher in high school named Miss Cassoon, and she was from Trinidad, and she would always say, like, that's a nice opinion, Jeffrey, but it's wrong. And so it's like, I feel what you're saying. Like, people are like, yeah, okay, you don't have to agree with me, and you have a nice opinion, but it's wrong.
Yeah, you have a nice opinion, but don't be mean about it.
Right, like, exactly.
That actually brings up something, because this week I am in multiple support groups, as you know, and I run my own. And in two of the support groups I'm in, one's for queer folks, and the other, the ones for disabled folks, specifically with cerebral palsy, which is my disability. So I was like, hey, let me join that to find more people that know my experience. And this one person was like, oh, when I introduced myself, they were like, oh, how can you be Christian and queer? Like, how does that work?
Yeah.
And I've been...
Oh, no, you froze.
I posted about it. I don't know if you saw it, but I've had that before, where this other person was like, it's sad to see so many people in the LGBTQ community believe in what they call the sky daddy.
Right. Which I actually kind of, I've used that term myself. Like, I'm like, but it's mainly, I use it also like,
but when people, it's different.
Yeah. Yeah. And I use it when people are like on my page, the people of like another faith tradition or another religion are disagreeing with me. I'm like, look, I don't want to fight you over whose sky daddy could beat who's in an arm wrestle race. Right. Like, so. Yeah,
it's different when you actually believe in God wholeheartedly, and you're not just saying it to disrespect someone and their beliefs. Like, I don't believe in that. The whole reason why I make posts and outwardly say things like I'm queer and I'm Christian is because We all have diverse identities that deserve to be seen. And I don't believe in this whole, oh, what you believe in is wrong just because it's not what I believe in. Right. You can believe in whatever religion, whatever faith, whatever floats your boat. I don't care. Just be a good human. Be a nice person. Don't attack people on the internet.
Right. And I think it's really important because a lot of queer people do want that that faith relationship with God. Like they do want to remain in their faith tradition, and a lot of them are being told that they can't. So I think we absolutely need people like you out there saying, yeah, I'm a queer Christian, and like just claiming that space. Like that I never wore a clergy collar before I came out. Like I did sometimes, but like mainly for like funerals and weddings and stuff like that. And now I wear one all the time, mainly because I'm claiming the space, right? I'm like, yes. I am a queer pastor. I'm gonna wear this symbol. so yeah, I think you being out there and claiming that space is like really important.
We interrupt this podcast for another installment of Mystic Moment.
Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to talk about the idea of claiming sacred spaces. This factors hugely into the conversation I'm having with Jay in this episode, but the gospel is radically inclusive. You have a spot at the table. You don't need to wait for someone to offer it to you because Jesus has already guaranteed it for you. If you are a queer Christian, a female clergy person, a person with a disability, you get a spot at the table no matter what. No one gets to tell you what your calling is. That's between you and God. And if someone tries to tell you that you don't belong, there is no greater defeater to their arguments than you simply just existing. You are sacred. Your existence is sacred. And your presence in sacred space is a holy protest against the injustice of exclusion. So occupy that space, and the Spirit of God will occupy it with you. Okay. Back to the show.
For visibility. Because I just actually read this quote, and it said something along the lines of, when you yourself is, when you're choosing to be vulnerable and share parts of yourself with other people, it lets those people know that doing that is okay.
Yeah. And it's part of being like a safe person too, is like,
yeah,
is like letting people know, like whatever they come to you with, you're going to respond in love. And that's not necessarily what telling people you're a Christian is going to do, because not a lot of Christians are doing that, but, but being that vulnerable and putting yourself out there, and I love it. How has being a person of faith with a disability, how has that helped shape your understanding of like the body of Christ?
Well, for me, being someone with a disability and being a Christian my whole life and believing in God, I feel like it's really important for us as disabled Christians and disabled people of any faith to not feel ashamed by it and to see ourselves in God.
Right.
And what they are to us. And I just think that for me, for a long time, I didn't see myself in God. I didn't really see myself in the church, because people would look at me and my disability and immediately be like, you should go up for prayer, as if someone praying for me once is gonna fix a disability I've had my whole life.
Right.
And I'm just like, after that, I was kind of glad that COVID came around, as crazy as it sounds.
Yeah.
Because I knew I didn't have to be back in that space.
Right.
Where I felt ashamed as a disabled Christian. Mm-hmm. And then I found Chosen Family and like, you guys, and you don't make me feel ashamed of it because we're all disabled by something.
Right.
And I think it's just the church itself is so focused on, oh, if you're a Christian, you have to look and do everything a certain way. And it's like, no, I can be a Christian and never walk. I can be a Christian and have surgeries. I can do whatever it is I need to. And I know that God holds space for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want to do with other people.
Right. Yeah. People have such messed up theology around illnesses and disability, and especially mental illness too. Like,
oh, like, don't even get me started.
Like, SJ, they used to live in England, and they caught like this really rare nerve condition while they were there, and ended up having to come home early. They were working at like this Christian resort, and everyone was like, oh, well, you must have sinned. Like, that's
literally what I was just reading about in my class.
Oh, really?
Sorry. About
disability
and like faith, and how people even today still think, oh, you must have sinned, or oh, you must have done something really bad in your past life to deserve this now.
Yeah. And like people who say stuff like that, I'm like, have you like read the book of Job? Like, the book of Job, like the stuff that you are saying to disabled people and to people with chronic illness and people with mental illness is the stuff Job's friends said to Job. And Job's friends are like famously wrong about everything. there's a term, Job's friends, that means like people who are giving you bad spiritual advice.
Yeah,
it's a bad scene. And like, I especially because like in the Gospels, when Jesus heals people, like there's one point where he heals, I think he heals a blind man, and somebody asks like, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus is like,
I read that. I read that, and I was just like, I get that all the time. People will look at me and look at my parents, and you can just tell.
Yeah.
You can just tell that they're thinking it.
I'm so sorry. That's so messed up. I'm trying not to swear so much on this podcast, but I end up doing it anyway. That's fucked up.
Yeah, that is. Great.
Yeah. How then also has it shaped your, you touched on it a little bit. How has it shaped your idea of the, or your understanding of the image of God inside of us?
I believe that the image of God is whoever we need them to be, and they come out whenever we need them. And a lot of the times, like for me, it comes out when I least expect it, but like I need it the most. And I know, like, the image of God people have different images and different ways of thinking about it, but the God I know is inclusive. The God takes on many different shapes and sizes and ethnicities. The God I believe in is disabled, queer, everything. All the good identities mixed into one.
Yeah.
And then for me, they always come out in my representation whenever I need them to. Because I feel like my whole life I've been told that, oh, God's like the straight white man. Right. And I'm like, not the God I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the cis hetero white, like you were saying, like people have sort of had this claim on what God looks like or who God is. Yeah. They've been able to identify themselves in God, but they do it at the exclusion of others. And I'm like, it's supposed to, like, the concept of the image of God, the concept of us all being created in the image of God is supposed to be like, it's supposed to be completely inclusive. Like it's, sorry, go ahead.
It's supposed to be like, to like, there's no, oh, maybe you'd fit, or maybe you'd look, maybe you'd fit better with God if you did this. No, right. God accepts you the way you are at every stage in your life. It doesn't matter what you do. If you seek out God, they're always going to be right there. He's always going to be right there. She's always going to be right there. God's not going to leave you just because someone else said you're not included in this.
Right. Well, and like specifically that's sort of what the gospel is like, that we had all, like, there was this during the first century, this like exclusionary worship practices, and they were sort of reacting to the exile and trying to like come back from that, and so their rules were all ramped up and it was starting to exclude people, and like that's what Jesus came to call, is the people who weren't being accepted by the church. And like the first Christian convert to Christianity who wasn't Jewish beforehand was a queer person of color, right? Like like that's who the gospel's for. Yeah. How does things like accessibility affect people's ability to engage with the church or to pursue a life of faith, do you think?
I think accessibility is a big issue. Mm-hmm. Take the church I grew up in, for example. It's this little church in like Mississauga, and they didn't have a ramp there before me. It was only after my parents started taking me there and the pastor saw how difficult it was that he actually built one for me himself.
Oh, wow.
He's like the sweetest man ever, and like you guys have a lot of the same values, and like it just makes me really happy because it makes me think of him and where I grew up. But he created a ramp, made it for me, everything. And like he, and just like simple things like that don't take very long make such a huge difference. But I don't know why people, especially in faith, seem to think they're above everyone. so they don't think about, oh, what if someone needs a ramp, or what if someone needs captions, or anything like that. Like, even my colleagues in school, some of them don't even, like, think of those things even in their daily lives.
Yeah.
And, like, seeing how Christians seem to just stick with the pack, and anything outside of that is unorthodox and wrong.
Yeah.
And, like, it affects a lot of people, because I recently witnessed, like, before the pandemic, we were going to church as normal every Sunday, and we go to a church with my family, so it's like a tradition kind of thing. And there was this one time where this woman saw this guy who was with his attendant, and he is autistic, and he was stimming and jumping around and doing all the things he does to get all his happy chemicals. And he was, like, singing Christian songs at the top of his lungs and praising the Lord. And one of the ushers was like, oh, you shouldn't keep him here because he's too loud.
Right. Yeah. And yeah.
I would love it if people just were more aware that just because we look and seem different to you, it doesn't mean that God treats us any different.
Right.
And God also doesn't believe that you should treat anybody different, but it's just funny how these people are so judgmental. But all that man was doing was praising God, and he was closer to God that day than most of them probably were.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, when I make this analogy, I'm not saying, obviously I'm not saying autistic people are like children, because I'm autistic. But, like, when Jesus says, like, let the little children come to me, and then you have people in church that are, like, have strict, like, oh, children can't be in the service if they're making noise. I'm like,
I know.
Kids making noise in a service is, like, a sign of a healthy congregation. Like, it means you have a next generation coming. And I feel like having someone like that, the autistic guy you were talking about, jumping up and down and praising God and stimming and doing whatever else he needs to do. Like, that's the sign of a healthy congregation, because you're actually being inclusive of the entire body of Christ, right?
Yes.
Like he doesn't have any less of a spot in the body of Christ. Like, it's not like, the whole scripture around the body of Christ too. Sorry, now I'm ranting. The whole scripture around the body of Christ is I forget the exact words that Paul uses, but he essentially says, like, those that some would find more shameful, we give special honor, right? Like, and he's making, like, an allusion to private parts, but he's like, he's saying, like, he's like even like the everyone belongs in the body of Christ, and like those that some would find shameful, we give special honor. And so I'm just like we need full representation in our churches. Like accessibility. And because I always feel like I have to explain away my autism. Like, and I mean, I just got diagnosed.
Yeah, I always feel like that too. Even though I've had CP my whole life, I'm just like, maybe if I explain it enough, it'll go away, so I don't have to continue to say the same thing to the same kind of people all the time.
Yeah.
people with disabilities deserve to be seen in every aspect of their lives, no doubt about it, but especially 1,000% in places of worship.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. That
are supposed to be non-judgmental and just understand that God takes you wherever you are.
Yeah.
God isn't like, oh, I can't be with you because you're not at this point yet. Like,
yeah, well, that's the whole thing, is that God stoops to meet us where we're at.
Yeah.
And then pull us forward. Yeah.
Like when you were talking about us on the boat, and during one of your services, and you were like, God doesn't, it doesn't matter how long it takes you to get there, God is always waiting for you because God meets you at whatever point you are at and says, you're enough just by getting to that point.
Yeah. I love it. I love when you get on a tangent there as well, Jay. I'm just like, I'm just sitting here listening to you preach, and I'm like, yeah. Yeah, say it.
I would love to preach anything.
Yeah, we can make that happen. Let's make that happen.
I've been down.
I love it. Yeah, I think too, because like Christians have this mentality that like the spirit is separate from the body, which I think to a degree there is something there, but like it doesn't really exist in like the Jewish understanding of the soul. Like there's like ruach that like God breathes into us, that's the breath, but then there's this other concept called nefesh that's like, it kind of means everything that makes you alive. It's like, it means living being. And like,
but it's the same thing as breath, basically, or it encompasses that same breath.
Yeah, it's the breath. It's like the breath and like our flesh too. Like it's like our flesh, like when it talks about like our flesh crying out and stuff like that. Like that's like our nefesh soul. And so like I think like our bodies are so deeply linked to our spirits, at least in this life. I don't know how the resurrection works, but
I don't know either.
But like, I think when we don't meet the needs of the disabled community, whatever the disability looks like, or when we don't listen to their autonomy either, right? Like it's like there's so many disabled communities, like the autistic community and the deaf community, that like their disability, right? and so giving people the self-determination to figure out how they want to be responded to also, I think is something that the church misses on. But
and also as a disabled person myself, I know for a fact that a lot of us feel isolated from the world already. So when we go into places of worship, we should be able to say that even if the outside world doesn't take me as I am, this place and God will.
Right.
That's what we should all be saying. But it doesn't always happen that way. Yeah. And that's why also we lose so many people that used to go to the church because of the fact that they are not seen as valuable members because of their disabilities. And it drives me nuts.
Right. Yeah, I think that's huge. And yeah, like you were saying earlier, like so many people are disabled in different ways. And when we have a hostile attitude towards one type of disability, like, that bleeds over. And so even people go ahead.
It bleeds into all of it. And then eventually you just look like you hate people with disabilities.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And like the people with invisible disabilities, like, when they see the hostility or incompatibility, or not willingness to be compatible with people with disabilities, like, I think that taints and colors their view of the church as well. Because we do, I think, like, the latest Pew Research thing said, like, there's, like, less people, for the first time ever, the majority of people in America don't consider themselves Christians. Like, this for the first time in history, it's like a larger, it's less people identify as Christians than not. And I think that, among other issues, has a huge thing to do with it.
My brother just gave me chocolate.
Nice. It's so sweet.
He has his moment. Continue.
No, I was done. That was it.
I completely agree with you, and I appreciate this conversation a lot, because the more we have these conversations, the better we will be at making sure places of worship and, like, people in congregations are more aware of disability and differences, and have them understand that it's not something to be ashamed about, because God's already accepted us the way we are, so you should do kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like, yeah, like, there is, I think, you sort of hinted at it earlier, there is this, like, underlying, like, desire to faith heal us, or to faith heal people with disabilities. And, like, if that's something that a person with disabilities wants, like, if there's, like, a revival tent meeting or something, and they're going specifically for that, and that's, like, their choice, their self-determination to seek that out, fine. But like, it's not something that, like there's a lot of consent violations that happen in religious spaces around disability too, I think. I've seen them anyway. What's something that what's something that you think churches should be focusing on, like, going forward to try and create those inclusive spaces?
Pardon?
Oh, sorry. I said, what's something you think churches should be, like, focusing on going forward to, like, try and create those inclusive spaces?
I honestly think having disabled people in their congregation, if they have the ability to like, hold, like, a presentation to their congregations, to be like, yeah, this is who I am, this is what I have, God already accepts me, so...
Yeah, I think that's huge. Or even having, like, including more people with disabilities in, like, positions, like, on board positions, even. So, like, they have some agency over, like, the decisions that are being made in the church.
Yes. I think
is huge. Like, yeah.
And that way they'll have voices and they'll feel like they're able to do what God has planned them to do, because they know that they are safe enough to just be.
Right. And at the same time, like I said at the beginning, recognizing that emotional labor is hard.
Yeah.
And the person, disabled people don't owe you free consults on how to be more accepting. Like, there's resources available that you can search out in your church. So, like, yes, like, present them with the opportunity, but don't, like, lay that on them, because...
Don't, like, be like, I've seen you come to church. Tell me all about you and what you got going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, let it be organic. Let people share what they're comfortable sharing. And yeah. Cool. Thank you so much for talking to me today, Jay. This has been so much fun.
I've been waiting my whole life for this.
Oh, that's sweet. Do you have anything you want to plug? Like, do you want to?
I'd honestly say that if we can learn anything from God, and if you're a believer in God, you need to understand that if God accepts everybody in every stage that we are at, and we want to be more in God's image, we have to also do that too. We can't just read about it and be like, oh, God did this, that's cool. No, we have to put it into action, because our whole life of serving God is to be more like them. Be more like them and less like people here who just judge everybody for no reason.
Right. Yeah. Be more queer, non-binary, and autistic.
Yeah. Be more like all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I was more thinking of, do you want to plug anything? Like, I love what you said. That's amazing. More of that. But I meant, do you want to, like, plug your Facebook page or your Twitter handle or anything like that?
I mean, my Facebook is literally my name, J. Robin Lux Baldwin, and my Instagram is @YouWalk_IFly_, because my name is Jay and I fly like a blue jay and I sit myself in a power chair every day and just zoom around. So yeah, it works.
I love it. And can I promote your group is what oh yeah, okay, yeah. So Jay is the moderator and creator of a group on Facebook called Disabled and Fabulous. Is that
Disabled, Queer, and Fabulous?
Disabled, Queer, and Fabulous. It's a fantastic community that I myself am a part of, and it's full of love and support. So if you are disabled, queer, and fabulous, get on over there, look it up. So yeah, okay, thank you again, Jay. This has been wonderful.
No problem, always a pleasure. Happy to come back anytime.
Absolutely, you're absolutely one of my favorite humans. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. So enjoy your Reese peanut butter cups. I'm very jealous.
Thank you, I will.
We did it, congratulations. That's the episode for today. Big thanks to Jay for expending some emotional energy to have this really in-depth discussion with me. If you want to find me, I'm on the internet. I'm at @CFC_PastorJeff on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find this podcast and my other projects at theautisticmystic.ca. If you want to check out my church, Chosen Family Church, we are a fully LGBTQ2PIA+ affirming and led online church community. You can head on over to chosenfamilychurch.com. Click on the Join a Zoom service link. If you
you like this show, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Ratings and reviews help us get discovered by new listeners and allows us to keep doing this important work and having these important conversations. Until next time, remember that you are the divine image of God, the chosen vessel of the Holy Spirit, and the way God interacts with creation, and so are the people you hate. Love ya.